day. Totally acceptable to be wearing your Rider jersey to work today. They are hosting the Stabs tonight, wearing their Obsidian Green jerseys. As a matter of fact, too, the two top teams in the West. Coach Mace is set to go to war.
It should be a war, no matter if it's on the ground or, you know, if the teams decide to air it out a bit. Man, there's some key matchups that I think for anybody that likes trench play, this is a good one to watch.
Well, joining me now is our Grey Cup champ, Green Zone analyst, Belton Johnson. And Belton, I bet when you hear the coach talk about going to war, it must pump you up, doesn't it?
And I heard him say trench play, so let's get it on, Greg.
Oh, man, this game has all the drama we could ask for, right? Stamps knocking off the Bombers last week, who till then were unbeaten. We haven't lost yet. They'd like to do it again. And I got to ask you first, are you a little worried the Riders could come in a little rusty off the bye week, or is that a thing, Belton?
Well, sometimes I do worry about that. But with this team this year, you know, just seeing the buzz, the energy, you know, I think they're going to be okay, you know, but, you know, come that first quarter, whatever rust is on them, knock it off. I think these guys will be ready to go tonight. The Stamps, they are a good team, right? 3-1. I think it's first place in the West, too. So
you bet. Well, Saskatchewan's defense has been solid, and you got to look what Calgary did last week against the Bombers, though. Derek Moncrief, David Webb, a couple former Riders, each had an interception, and they ran him in for a touchdown. And defense is going to be one to watch, isn't it?
It really is, Greg. The Stamps, I think they've only allowed, 20.3 points per game this season here, right? So, yes, they have a really good defense. You mentioned Moncrief and the guys scoring touchdowns, you know. So it's gonna be a battle, man. And the Riders, I think it's gonna come down to really discipline and penalties, especially when you have two top teams playing.
Well, penalties will be key, and hopefully the referees drive me insane lately. They're constantly tossing the flags here. Like I don't know if they're told, like, just call everything you see. There's no leniency whatsoever. And I know it's frustrating for Coach Mace, too, when it comes to how many penalties we take. I just think sometimes the referees kind of ruin it for us, too. But let me also focus on A.J. Ouellette and the Stamps, Dedrick Mills. They're number one and number two in rushing yards, respectively. Talk about drama. There's that, too, isn't there?
There is. And again, you heard Coach Mace there, whether it's on the ground or through there, right? And, you know, the Riders, Ouellette, he's been on fire here, right? I think he's first there. I think he has, about 347 yards in total for the season. I think, when again, Mills right there, 311, I believe, right? So it's going to come down with the O-line there. I still have complete faith in this Rider O-line. But again, the Rider defense, right, that front line, they don't allow a whole lot of rushing yards and everything. So I think they're going to have to keep on that path there. And again, Rider O-line, it's wartime. Let's get it on,
all right,
as I said earlier.
Okay. Belton, will our unbeaten record still be intact when the Stamps leave town later tonight?
I have the Riders winning, Greg, and can I give you my score?
I'm ready.
I got the Riders winning 24-20 tonight.
Whoa.
I think it's going to be that tight, Greg.
And in the trenches, I can tell you're serious, too. All right, Belton, we'll catch you on the pregame show and, of course, post. Kickoff at 7, Green Zone pregame, 3 o'clock this afternoon. Thanks, my man. Have a good weekend.
Have a good one, Greg.
This is dedicated to Bob Geldof. This is called Don't You Forget About Me.
Back to London, to Wembley and Live Aid. Will you meet and greet David Bowie?
She's great, she's hot, she's a lot like a virgin, she's Madonna!
Holiday, come on people, put your hands together, celebrate.
How about it, the Mighty Pretenders? Here's a truly legendary rock and roll band. Peter Townsend, Roger Daltrey, John Entwistle, and Kenny Jones. Please welcome the Who.
At no expense whatsoever, ladies and gentlemen, Elton John.
She packed my bags last night. We fly.
I'm going to interview.
James, a friend of mine now, is going to sing one of my songs. Mr. George Michael.
Years ago this weekend, the historic Woodstock of the 80s, if you will, Live Aid. So many bands. You heard how many were there. Superstars. Did mention Tina Turner. Didn't get to Queen yet either. Or Phil Collins. You know what a ticket was worth if you were going to that? To see all of those stars? $35. Woodstock of the 80s, for sure. Queen really seemed to steal the show, too. And they almost didn't even perform. At the time, they had no album or tour to promote, and when Bob Geldof asked if they'd join, Freddie Mercury, he was a little hesitant, right? He was ailing. He didn't think that, you know, they don't have anything to plug, and he thought, you know what, this might even be a disaster. Coordinating that many acts around the globe, two different venues, but as the date grew closer, anticipation was building. Queen bandmates talked Freddie into doing it, and the rest is history. That iconic pose in front of tens of thousands of people. And of course, if you have seen the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, it ends with that appearance on Live Aid too. Phil Collins, he was the only artist to perform at both venues. He went from Philadelphia to London on the Concorde. You remember the Concorde at the time? Fastest way to travel. More than 1 billion people tuned in to view it. And it would raise more than $100 million in famine relief for Africa at the time. Again, Live Aid was the brainchild of Bob Geldof, the singer of an Irish rock band known as the Boomtown Rats back in the day. But yeah, I can't imagine $35 to see that many artists. Unbelievable. We paid a little more, I think, for the big Craven Country Thunder Party. But tonight, 7 o'clock... Sarah Evans is on the stage. Tim Hicks, he's in there in the middle between Jason Aldean and Sarah. It's going to be fun. Tomorrow night, Tyler Hubbard of Florida Georgia Live fame. He's got his solo hits and FGL songs. Bailey Zimmerman, The Closer, and Sunday night, Def Leppard. 9:30, they're set to take the stage. They're bringing the full pyro, full arena show, outdoor show. Explosions. It's going to be pretty packed too, I think. I've heard that from the folks at Country Thunder, the single day tickets, the strongest sales are for Sunday. Well, when it comes to your plants, your garden, your grass, you get what you give. And Rick Van Dyvendyke, host of Garden Talk, is here now to tell us, give a little more fertilizer, I guess, to the front lawn, back lawn. Is that right, Rick?
Yeah, fertilizer is pretty much used up. A lot of the fertilizer you put on, you know, back in the end of April and beginning of May. So now I'll put a summertime fertilizer on, and I like using the one that's made in Saskatchewan. It's called Groundskeeper. But you, in the summertime one, you use the one in spring, you use a 16 nitrogen. The summertime, they have a 23 nitrogen, but no phosphorus. It works really well, and it'll get your, you'll be the envy of the block, let's just say that way, Greg.
That's good to know. And as you fertilize the lawn, should you be fertilizing any pots and vegetables along with it?
Actually, if you haven't fertilized your pots, they need, I like putting a slow release fertilizer on, and then once a week, I just hit them with some 20-20-20. You'll have the best pots because most of the plants you put in pots, like they're all a very vigorous plant, like potato vines or some of the big petunias and that kind of stuff. So they need to be hit at least once a week with 20-20-20 just to fill them out, because the pots in that potting mix that you put in, they leach out the nutrients so quickly, and also they just grow so fast they eat it all up. So if you want really nice baskets and even your vegetables, by putting a lower nitrogen and a lower phosphorus one in, like one fertilizer is meant for vegetables. If you got vegetables in a pot, make them grow. And if you got tomatoes in the ground, they've been kind of slow this year because we haven't had the heat like we normally get, you know, like really hot, especially this next week. And so give them a good vegetable fertilizer with calcium in it. and then it'll help you not getting that blossom end rot.
Okay, Rick Van Dyvendyke, host of Garden Talk Sunday mornings at 9. He wants you to fertilize and then move over to the birches and maples. You could give them a trim now, right?
Yeah, definitely you can give them a trim. Birches and maples, if you prune them in late fall or if you prune them in early spring, they tend to bleed like crazy, Greg. So what you want to do is usually by the middle of July until the end of September is when you want to prune birches and maples. And so give them a pruning now if you need to trim that branch off that keeps hitting your, knock your sunglasses off while you're mowing and that. Now's a good time to do it, or one that branches that are scraping the house and that kind of stuff. Great time to do it right now. And all your spring flowering shrubs, Greg, like your lilacs and your double flowering plum, your forsythia, anything that blooms really early in the spring, get them, deadhead them right now. Cut all those little flowers off and everything else. And then that way next spring, when you hit them with that fertilizer right now, because basically I like July 15th is the last time I'll fertilize my big trees because I want them to get ready for next spring. And the shrubs, I can go until August 1st. And so then you quit fertilizing.
Okay.
So you want to give them all a nice fertilizing right now. And then give them those early blooming shrubs a pruning now, like the lilacs, and you'll get twice as many blooms next year.
Well, that's good to know. It's Rick Van Dyvendyke, host of Garden Talk. What about fruit trees? They're starting to come alive now. Is there anything we should be doing?
Yeah, like, you know, your Saskatoons are really filling out. Your hascaps are done now. You basically picked those where the birds got them on you. And
yes.
But otherwise, your Saskatoons, your gooseberries, your Nanking cherries, your sour cherries are really starting to fill out now. Give them a good watering right now, and even some fruit and berry fertilizer to fill them out so that you got nice, juicy fruit to pick in the next week or two. So now's a good time to make sure that I like sticking a piece of rebar, Greg, and I stick it down like about 8 to 12 inches down to make sure the moisture's there, because if you're just watering with your lawn, you're only going down a couple inches, and they need a little bit more than that, especially your trees, too.
Okay. Rick Van Dyvendyke, more if you have a question for Rick. Sunday mornings, 2 whole hours starting at 9. We'll listen to you then. Rick, have a good weekend.
You too. Everybody have a great weekend.
Well, last year it was Nickelback at Craven Country Thunder. It was a huge success. They tried it out on the Saturday night. The place was packed. And Sunday night, the closer is Def Leppard, along with Jason Aldean opening tonight as the closer on the main stage. Should be a lot of fun. Coming up, Evan Bray, and I'm sure this will be a topic, the escalation of the trade war. President Trump Thursday threatening a 35% tariff on goods imported from Canada starting August 1st, upping pressure on Ottawa as they have to try to secure a deal with the White House over the next few weeks here. And it was in a letter posted last night on Truth Social that Trump said he'd increase the tariffs that were imposed on Canada in March, that currently stand at 25%. But as the threats go back and forth, we'll monitor that. Prime Minister Mark Carney, in a post on X Thursday, defended Canada's record because Trump's again saying, oh, it's because of the border and security. Well, he says, Mark Carney, that the country has made vital progress in stopping fentanyl and other drugs going into the U.S. So it continues. Back to being about the border. Hey, last night, rain delayed and inevitably stopped the Red Sox from playing against Swift Current. So next, they're going to try to travel to Weyburn, take on the Beavers in a doubleheader tomorrow. But you can be ready for the next home game. I've got Red Sox tickets and a little Red Sox swag if you want to go to a game in the future. Text me 1-877-300-7275. Hey, in theaters this weekend, it's Superman.
Hey, buddy. Eyes up here.
Directed by the same guy who brought us Guardians of the Galaxy, James Gunn, who wanted this Superman to be a little more down-to-earth, and nothing says down-to-earth, if you ask me, than giving Superman a dog. So Gunn explains how he incorporated Superdog.
What is this?
Crypto!
What the hey, dude?
I thought you destroyed the whole Superman robots. I thought I told you to keep an eye on him.
We feed the canine, but he is unruly.
I mean, the dog is the whole reason, was the start of the movie for me.
Really?
1,000%. I adopted a dog. His name is Ozu, and he didn't want to be touched. He had never known human beings. He chewed up all our furniture. He was, you know, chasing the cat and just being the worst dog you can imagine.
Ow, stop it. Crypto, ow, ow, stop it, stop, sit.
I thought, wow, what if this terrible dog had superpowers, I'd really be screwed.
Well, is it any good with a super dog? Brett Buster, our resident movie critic, you saw it last night. You didn't like the dog?
No.
Why?
I really didn't.
Does the dog try to interfere and overcome Superman or what?
It's just constantly causing chaos and it's not fun for the plot. It's basically just there as a deus ex machina to save Superman when he's in a bad spot.
Okay. Well, I guess you're a cat lover, huh?
I do like cats, but I have a dog too. I was thinking of my dog.
Superman cost an estimated $225 million to make, hoping to dethrone the Jurassic Park dinosaurs. If you could only pick one movie, which one would you go to this weekend?
Jurassic World.
Really? It's still better than Superman, huh?
This movie just didn't do a lot for me.
Were you ever a fan of Dexter?
Yes.
Did you see it? It's streaming today. Paramount Plus, Dexter Resurrection is out.
Oh, I didn't know. No, that's great. I haven't watched the prequel series yet either, but I did really enjoy the New Blood one or whatever.
And it picks up after the events of New Blood.
Oh, great.
And Dexter waking up from a coma and following his son Harrison to New York City. It's getting a lot of good reviews. A lot of critics who saw the first four episodes were not expecting it to be as good as it is.
Interesting, because I thought the ending was pretty open and shut, but I guess not.
Do you think Dexter should have a dog?
Absolutely not. Dog is not the way to go.
All right. Thumbs down from Brett for Superman. Thanks, buddy. Hey, the Rider game tonight. As I look at the forecast, I think, you wonder where the sunshine is. It's going to be coming out. Kickoff at 7 o'clock. It should be sitting around 19 degrees at kickoff. And you probably aren't going to need rain gear. After we get through this morning, there's really nothing that should affect tonight's football game, just a few clouds. But there is an air quality statement from Environment Canada because of the wildfire smoke may hinder those who have some health problems. But remember, the Green Zone pregame show starts this afternoon at 3 o'clock.